I do. So, welcome to the podcast, everyone. So, we're going to get this popping. So, today, I know. But we got it. It may take some time, but we get there. So, today we're talking about the reparations topic that we didn't get to finish last week because you weren't here. So, they kind of got my opinion. So, I first want to hear yours. Absolutely.
AOC, Ocasio-Cortez just voted against the bill that Mitch McConnell proposed. But the Republicans try to do something good. But the border bill, they did was they said, okay, we're going to make it legal to give soap and water and stuff like that. We're also going to fund oil enterprise. Essentially get more tax break to oil companies. I think even if we did some form of reparations, that's what it would be. They would say, oh yeah, this bill does this, this snap for black folks, simultaneously screwing everybody else. So it all ultimately either the bill, the reparations look back, or it'll make us look back. But let's just say they gave us reparations. Let's not go on the negative side. That's just a positive. Gave us reparations, what would that look like? That's not, we're not going to do it for farming. I don't want to be around mules. You know what I'm saying? So that's not the word. I already tried to, the stimulus funds. He was giving out checks and all that.
It's going to be like a fat ass check to like whoever America deems is the right person. Like,
yeah, and then you got to do, you got a genealogy test. Did your family come from the Ivory Coast where they was doing the actual slavery? It's not going to be like a one size fits all if you're black. They're not going to use that same drop rule. If you're black, you get money. They're making it so hard, people are just going to forget about it all together. It sounds good in the political process. But I know that they're not going to do anything as far as money's concerned. They're not just going to give us money or the economic field. So let's look at what would level the playing field.
I say legislation.
So I say, yeah, legislation. So I say, instead of gentrification, let's do urban development, where our property taxes don't go up because the area improved. I mean, it's kind of messed up that all these businesses in our community, and it's, you gotta leave because you can't pick up times for, 30, 40, 50 years. You know what I'm saying? So urban development without the removal of black folks. Let's also look at,
hell yeah,
not subprime loans, but actual home loans that say, if you find a house within this certain amount, let's say $150,000 to $200,000, if you find a house within that amount, the government has part of reparations, and it has to be in a black neighborhood, in a historically black neighborhood, the government would give you $50,000. These are big numbers, just throwing it out there as an example. So that would make the home equity and wealth building equal some subsidized loan there. It's going to inflate and cause the housing market to crash.
So basically lessening the wealth disparity between the black community and white community. Like lessening the wealth disparity would be.
Because that's equity. That's something that you can use as collateral if you want to get a business. That's also generational wealth. You pass down a house to family members, right?
Yeah.
Grandma dies, she gets his house. I was just watching Goodfellas the other day, right? And they were supposed to be poor Italians and poor Jewish folks. When you look at those neighborhoods, look at those houses, it's no wonder that they and whereas those houses back then might have been worth only $50,000, $60,000, if you put it at current market value, those houses, same houses are worth $250,000 to $400,000 in those neighborhoods.
Yeah.
In the historically black neighborhoods, they're gentrifying them. They're claiming the property value goes down because of the crime rate. So then they go in and buy out all the existing homeowners and just redevelop the property and ship black folks and I would say even poor brown folks off to another spot. But we're specifically talking about black people and corporations. I also think first generation African Americans should be able to go to college free of charge. Not if you already like it. Went to college, okay, you can get the same federal, but if you're the first in your family or the first in your immediate family to go to school, go to college, you should be able to go for free, almost like Iceland and Finland and all that. That's one of the reparations that the government can actually subsidize. You know what I mean? They can actually fund store that because we aren't African American on the box. You know what I'm saying? We don't, because if we go and say each black person in America, part of the loopholes is going to be that, they're not going to do that.
Also, I got one business loans for black business owners. Exactly.
I say there should be some free market loans that like basically is a one chance if you're African American, if that's on your box every time you go to the hospital or apply for a job and all that stuff, that's what you identify as, that's what you classify that on a census. You get one chance in the form of maybe let's say $5,000 to upstart a business. And it's a grant. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even say it's fun. I would say that's what reparations is. It's something they make it a grant, $5,000 to $10,000 grant that allows you to start a business. So those are some things that I think about reparations. Don't talk about cutting it. And also what you mentioned is they're gonna cut that check, and they're gonna be like, all right, I don't wanna hear about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, we cut you niggas a check. I don't want to hear about slavery no more. Like, it's like you buy your kid some candy. Like, all right, don't ask for nothing else. Like,
exactly. But here's the deal: you might not hear about it no more. Because when the Holocaust was happening and the Jewish people are getting paid out, when the trailer happened and the Native Americans are getting paid up. You don't really hear them being topic issues and love disparity. They're like, okay,
I mean, but I don't feel like I feel like those issues are different. Like the reason why is because like they're still hot button issues in those particular communities.
True, but the difference is they've actually been reparated.
Yeah, but that they didn't. They still didn't give it to everybody. It still wasn't really given out fairly.
No, yeah, because it's not given to all Jewish people. It's not given to all Native American people.
Or like Japanese Americans, they didn't just like. They gave a large amount to like Japanese Americans at one point for like the internment camps.
Right.
But see, like I feel like it's too big for black people. I feel like our issue was not. I'm not saying bigger than all of those. I'm not saying that, but like it spans in a different way.
Yeah,
Like, you're not going to be able to pay.
It affects a larger group. It affects a larger group because you have to go back to the start of slavery. Millions of people. That's over 10% of the country. So that's why I say, you know, while they do have money, they're spending a lot of money on defense, they do have the money, their claim is it's going to be an entitlement program. They're not going to put it as racial. They're going to say all democratic entitlement programs and push that whole narrative that black folks want to hang out or, you know, mean black folks are victims and need to be taken care of when they know full well that the effects of slavery and the effects of gentrifying, the effects of three strike rule and
stop and frisk
crime and the war on drugs that Ronald Reagan and Clinton put into place, all these things had a detrimental impact on the black community. So if we legislated our way into this problem, if all that stuff was legal, we had to legislate our way out of the problem to get rid of the systemic damage that was caused. I don't need a band-aid. I don't, you know, go to work. We have opportunities to get that we need. We need systemic change to make it equal so we can at least start the process of generational education, generational wealth, and generational, basically, economic equality. That's how it starts. That's how every community, every other culture built wealth was through home ownership, education. You can buy houses. What type of loans you receive? What you qualify for? So if you talk about reparations, I'm doing some stuff that says, "Oh, it's all you gotta." It's a law that if I'm a first generation college, I get to go free ride. Or at least a majority of it pay. But I say just free ride if you really want to be honest.
And I'd be with that.
I think that's a start. And I'm gonna get it.
Right. So we're in agreement with that one. We're in agreement on this particular topic. Like, reparations is legislation in this particular argument.
Yeah, and I'm gonna cut us a check. I mean, it'd be nice. But then you have to be like, it's like the fox and the sheep. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want that shit.
It don't feel right.
I don't want that shit.
Money, y'all don't make it. Yeah.
I do not want that shit. Like, but the reason why, like, and I know, like, I'm not even, like, trying to sound cool or, like, I don't want that shit. Like, my ancestors, you're not going to pay my ancestors back. And then I'm, like, part Native. You're not going to pay my ancestors back. Like.
Ain't no money in the world.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, the white man's dollar is not worth my people's life. It's not, it's not that serious. You can't pay us back for that. So it's like, even if they just started cutting niggas' checks, like, nah, fam.
So that's where we should start. And, you know, in our latter topic, I'm going to talk about how we can make it a reality, whether or not it's passed. So what's the next subject, Ron?
The next subject we were going to talk about is, like, do you feel like a person can, like, be like a neighborhood Nipsey type of person and still be like a Chief Keef ass nigga, like I'll kill you type of person? Like, can you be both? Now, see, I'm not talking about artistically. I think that's a different conversation. Because, like, in music, I feel like there's certain things you have to do for the sake of art.
To an extent, I don't agree with the whole, like, so it's entertaining. I don't agree with the whole, I'm going to kill you, but then I'm in a nonprofit for a little league basketball team. You just told me you wanted to kill his homie, though. Like, what's this? You know what I'm saying? Y'all glorifying bullshit on the public, but trying to glorify good stuff in private. You don't really want people to know that you ain't really from that lifestyle. You know
so I guess that's the conversation. Can you separate the two? Can you really? Like, because like,
here's how I'll put it. You remember Frank Lucas, right? American Gangster. Oh, Frank Lucas, one of the, the backstory ain't really the movie was romantic, but in the gist of it was this ruthless dude, ruthless drug dealer, but he'd also turkey drive Thanksgiving. He'd also do, pass out Christmas hands in the community, pay off people's life. Stuff like that. Now, you can look at it as like I'm just paying off the community so they support me and don't on me and that sort of thing. But that was the whole gangster narrative that we grew up with. Like, we do bad things, but we love community. So, in that sense, I'm not bashing because essentially the government does the same thing. They got police out here that regulate the streets. They can kill with immunity. You know what I'm saying? We know in corruption and setups and all that stuff, but they're so benevolent. They'll do a turkey drive during the winter, and they'll come pull up to talk to kids on the park. So even the federal government will go and get food to foreign countries, but then bomb them.
And I will bet money that our president does coke. Yeah, I would. Oh my god. Good coke.
No, he definitely does coke. All that erratic behavior. Come on now.
Our president does good fucking coke.
And that's the opinion piece, but it's like. And the same thing I ran, the first president who they killed leaders over there. And the reason was the same they shot JFK. Because that's when they say we're protecting the people. Don't we're fighting for freedom. It's mine. You know what I'm saying? Y'all protecting America's interests. They always say that. We're protecting America's interests.
What are America's interests?
I'm interested in your economy. I'm interested in robbing you of your resources. That's America's interest. It's not to go and liberate the people and give them democracy. That's some old bullshit.
We lost a war for that. I said we lost a war for that.
Yeah, we lost two wars. They just won't admit it. And like it's still war torn.
So yeah, I guess in that regard, I feel like it balances itself depending on how what type of person you want to like present yourself as. Like yeah. I concur. She said self-protection is always needed, but there's a point where lines are crossed when it comes to the USA going into other countries. That's facts. Like, and I think that there's, like, back to, like, the original topic, like, there's a point that a line gets crossed when, like, you're presenting a certain persona and you're, like, trying to present a different one. Like, there's a point where, like, that shit gets muddled and, like, who are you? You know what I mean? And I
think about it. Like you said, if I'm out there portraying, like, say I'm a gang leader or something like that, and it's like, you know, fuck the other side, we just kill whoever is from that section. No, don't kill whoever's from that section. Now, that's bad. Now, you can come back to the community talk about some all peace, love, and when you just trying to kill people because they from another gang. It's tribal in it. Well, I'm not completely knocking them, live your life, but you try to pretend like you're Nipsey, because Nipsey removed himself from it. He started talking about past experiences. Whereas a lot of these cats try to claim that they OG, but don't he a good person, he getting money to this person, but they really fuel blame for these young people for killing each other. That's hypocritical. In the case of somebody who organized crime and they don't really antagonize the situation, but you came over there and stole me or robbed me or, you know what I'm saying, killed somebody I know, well, that's just retaliation. That's not being an aggressor. So as long as you're not the aggressor, only out of protection of retaliation, I feel like you can.
Do you think, I have a question, and I just thought of this shit. Do you think the removal of poverty in the black community would, like, kill some of the tribalism? Like, do you think if we all were on the same level playing field financially, we would still have that same issue?
It would lessen. I would say.
Or do you think it requires education? Well, I mean, there's also the matter of how people choose to handle their means, because like you said, like, there's a lot of people who are poor who aren't in gangs, like, but on the same token, like, those people just feel like they can handle their poverty in a different way, whereas there's people who may be involved in the gang because they feel like that was the only way that they could solve their issue with poverty, like, and that's understandable, like.
Here's why cops are so insensitive. psychology training states is like getting you to think like a cop, getting you to think like a military serviceman. So they'll say things like, always protect yourself regardless of who you're in front of. You know, no matter if they're kids or not, got a gun, you gotta shoot, kill, and protect yourself. They'll say things like, the brotherhood, you know what I'm saying, always. So those are ideological things that will make you outside of what you would do as a regular citizen. The regular citizen would be, you would pause if a kid came out of the house with whether or not he had intent to kill. You would hesitate as a regular person. But if you went through ideology training, a soldier, it wouldn't even be a second thought. He had a gun, we're in enemy territory, he got shot. And that's the same way that police think they're trained on that ideology. He had a gun, I'm in a high crime zone, he got shot. Period. There ain't no in-betweens. It's just ideology. So the same token, that's the same ideology. Gang members are spewing younger gang members. They say, hey, it don't matter if you know this person or not. If I'm not on the other side, you better shoot. And if you don't, we will go against you. So this ideology way more than poverty or anything else. It's ideology training makes these people insensitive.
That goes into what she just said, kind of. She said it wouldn't be a quick process. Like, it would take generations to teach it. So, like, yeah, it would take even, I guess I answered my own question in that regard. Like, what's up, Marvante? Even with, like, years and years of, like, existential training, I feel like we would still have to change our mindsets before poverty would change anything about that.
Always take these organizations like gangs and the military and cops and government and just automatically put this like benevolent morality on them. There's some fucked up people inside of those organizations, no matter what it is, and they just have anger, whether they went through some trauma or they experienced something that they just don't like.
So they could very well be sociopaths.
There's just some people that's crazy, like. Exactly. So sociopathic behavior definitely plays in. And like we was talking about Judas. All of them was cool. Then one of them just start flipping out and killing them.
Hey, that, I was going to say, we should set. Segueing into that shit, like. That Bishop, I feel like, was a prime example of someone who, like, was a sociopath. Like, we don't like to think of that there's a such thing as a black sociopath, but, like, that's an example of it. Like, someone who was perfectly fine and then just suddenly wanted to kill all his homies. Like...
ideologies, just like if you were a white supremacist, like if you were actions, just like if you're a Nazi or a neo-Nazi, once you don't think that way when you first join. You may have some tendencies or some problems, but once you get a mind in that culture, they get to get that ideology, so on your worldview and your perspective has completely shifted to a rational, sane person, and it's moves like culture. So that's how I think. So I don't know, when we solve it in one generation, I don't know. I think we're working on it. I do think in strides towards it, but it's going to start with legislation. It's going to start with economic opportunity and equality, and that's how it shifts to where people aren't going through trauma and they have opportunity to think about it. In a black neighborhood, there's about 5 liquor stores. You probably count in about 10 churches, all within like a 5-mile radius. There may be, and I say maybe, there may be one community center.
And what about, and maybe in that general area, you're lucky to maybe find 1 to 2 therapists, psychiatrists, like anyone who's trained in mental health at all.
So we downplay mental health, downplay depression, anxiety, we downplay this kid's feeling to belong to something. Whereas if we had about little Natalie, he can get the same community respect. But what do we have? Liquor stores and churches. So that they like, well, forget that. I don't want to go to church.
So we can pray today and get drunk tonight on God, and let that fix our fucking problems.
Come on, man. Like, it's strategic. It's not by accident at all. But if you guys see other communities, like, not the Greg Center, the Croc Center, that thing is huge. And it's right over south. They got a huge basketball gymnasium. They got a program over there for everybody. We got fields for football. North Omaha, we got one YMCA that nobody goes to.
We got the Hope Center. What's up, Chelsea?
I'm not going to. They came up there, I guess some girls got to a fight, and they were mad because the people there didn't instantly break up. And the mom literally was like, I come back and shoot everybody. I don't care who's involved. I'm like, are you serious?
Damn, man.
Somebody's mom. And then to highlight that, she called a bunch of people, then a bunch of gang members showed up. I won't mention which gang, but you can tell what we're there for. Then when the cops showed up, everybody dispersed the mom. So it's situations like that just feed into that narrative. And I would say it started in the late 70s and then got heightened with the war on drugs.
But then it's sad because, like, we're always talking about how we wish we could do more for Omaha in particular. Like, I've seen, like, One of my homegirls the other day made a post like, why doesn't anybody want to go to the park and like get water guns and like have a water balloon fight? And one of the first comments was like, because it would get shot up. And I'm like, really? Is it Compton? Or like, why the fuck? Like, we can't do shit. We live in the fucking Midwest. Like, we live in the fucking Midwest. Why is it so violent? We like, I understand that we have our problems, like, but we have control over that shit.
Look at our music and our meat. Like the baby of these rappers, all of them talk about drugs, shoot you.
You know what's really interesting? I watched a video on his. Yeah. That's some sick ass shit, but that's a good song though. That song's like disgustingly beautiful. It's like really dastardly.
It's hard
But I see, that's the thing, I don't feel like it needs to be. I don't feel like the art needs to be condemned. I just feel like we need to understand, like, we in Omaha, and maybe it's different because I was really raised outside of this shit. Like, I'm a black person and I was poor, but I was poor, but I didn't grow up in the hood. I grew up, like, all over the place. Like, I didn't really, we lived in a bunch of different spots. So, like, I didn't grow up in the hood. So, I can't really relate. So, like, but I don't disrespect it. Because, like, my family, like, I know I got family members who did, but, like, nevertheless, like, some of that shit, like, I know niggas that, like, didn't grow up in the hood at all. Like, they literally go from West Omaha to North Omaha to go gangbang, and it's just, like, we have control over that type of shit. Like, we don't have to be that way.
That's the point. Now, some people actually get up in there, but guess what? Everybody listens to the same music, and everybody hears all the little hood legends about this person and this person and this person, and they get up that same respect. They're not talking about the hood stars that make it out. They're not talking about people like Othello. Everybody thinks in North Omaha, it's gentrification. It's a black dude that is putting all them businesses and putting all them new houses down there. It's a good brother who up in North Omaha trying to make his community better. And black people who are buying them houses and black folks. I'm going to keep it all the way.
Oh, my God. Then I ask questions later. I don't know how to be a player. Bro, you just fucked my podcast up.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to hang up.
What's up?
I was literally just going to see if you got carts. I'm so
sorry. I already sent you a picture of them.
I didn't get it. I'm so sorry. Bye.
It's okay.
We don't focus on those. Really, we don't focus on the year folks, right? The mid, what they call the midterm election.
We don't focus on state votes. We don't focus on local legislation in any kind of form. Like,
in form, I can tell you, and I'm guilty of it too. I can tell you the last time someone was like, "Oh yeah, I'm about to go to the city hall meeting on Saturday." Black folks don't go to city hall meetings. And so,
well, the reason niggas don't participate here is because Nebraska doesn't have, like, a, I feel like Nebraska has very low, like, population. So I feel like we in Omaha kind of realize that, like, it's hard for us to tip the scale.
That's not necessarily true. Because the overall population has nothing to do with eligible voters. It doesn't.
True.
So the pool of voters is way is vastly different than the population. That's why they don't want to put the citizenship question on the census. That's what they were fighting in the House. So we could very well tip the scale if we register more voters. Who is your city council member that represents your district? Who represents your district in your zip code? Who is your state treasurer? Who is your
John Ewing?
Was it election city treasurer? Do people even know who Ben Gray is outside that he's a black city council president? Do they know any of his policies? Do they know any of his plans for the city? On a mayoral level, we just don't participate. Like, I feel like the only reason that multiple communities, and this is just talking to the black community, because, you know, we specifically speak to, I feel like the only reason they participated in the presidential vote was one of those "I was there" things. Because it only comes up with 4 years like the Olympics. But they can say, "Oh, I voted for Nixon," or "I voted for Clinton back in the day," or "I voted for Barack," or "I voted for Trump." You know what I mean? It's just to say it's it has nothing to do with if his political agenda affect your family directly, but it has everything to do with having a talking point and a badge that says "I was there." For a long time, I had a wallet on me that had 2008, I voted for Barack Obama. Now, what's crazy crazy about that is I lived in D.C. at the time. My vote didn't even count. D.C. doesn't have an electoral electorate. It was just insatiable by our collection. At the time, I could care less who was the representative. D.C. has a shadow representative. Can't even speak on bills or vote on bills. But let's just take it back to Nebraska. Does anybody know Don Bacon's policies? Name one. I challenge you in the North.
I was just kind of like, nah, because that nigga's name was Bacon. Shit's not kosher at all.
He voted against legal marijuana.
Can't hear you, pimp.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. So, we vote for sensationalism. We don't vote towards policy. Now, let's not talk about the problem all the time. The solution is...
I can't hear you.
You still can't hear
me? They can't. I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was the problem. If you couldn't hear me, they couldn't hear me. It's your life. So, I think the solution is one, we need to, all these churches, and you know, need to start highlighting city policy. That's where it starts. That's where it starts.
Churches?
Once black people realize that they can go vote and put on the city council now to vote and change something in their specific neighborhood, and I don't care if it's this little getting a road fixed or making sure school doesn't go under or paying teachers and yes more, just some small issue in the city. If first we realize that their vote counts in the city, then we can start talking about on a state level, then we can start talking about on a federal level. Till then,
on the particular subject, I feel like part of the reason we're not engaged in that shit is because by design we don't understand it. Like, they make sure that the shit is very complicated. It's very hard to like follow. They do the elections at different times and at times that people like can't get out of work to go deal with it. Like, it's all by design. And I feel like as long as like, I feel like probably where something should start cutting out. Or, how about now? We good? Thumbs up if y'all can hear me. But yeah, so I feel like part of the problem is that like can you hear me? All right, cool. If we don't understand it, naturally, we're not going to have the correct, like, levels of participation. Like last year in the primaries, they were talking about that guy was, the guy in Georgia that was running against Stacey Abrams. He was, he was holding back, like, over 10,000, over 20,000 votes, I think. Like, just keeping them, just in his fucking office type shit. Like, and shit like that's just going on. That they basically just like extort the community in that kind of way because they know that we don't pay attention, so they feel like they can get away with things like that. Like they feel like they can just in the same way that they get away with redlining the districts. Like, and I feel like where so I feel like basically what I'm saying is where we need to start is paying attention. Like it's the easiest form of political participation. Like is knowing what's going on. Like, because that's what the problem is. The whole game is played against us because we don't know how to play it. Like, you're exactly right. We don't know who our representatives are. But furthermore, we don't even know what our representatives are supposed to be doing or what they can do for us. Like, we don't know that a lot of the things that we sit and we bitch about on social media, if we wanted to pass a petition for that or pass a bill for that, we could get some of that shit. Like, yeah, dude, like, I'm hungry, my kids need stuff, I need insurance, like.
Yeah, and that's how they cut it off. Like, dude, I just want to work, I don't care. They, like, feel helpless in the process. They don't feel like it's not even going to matter because of what they want us is the only election that matters is the presidential election. If there's not a president that comes through and waves his magic presidential wand and fixes every community in America,
but like, when are we gonna lose faith in that process? Because that process has never brought us anything. Like, never. Yeah, like, we in Omaha, we complain so much about our city politics, and it's so many black people in North Omaha that we really could run city politics in North O if we cared.
Like,
not at all. And then furthermore, we don't even trust the presidential election.
Change. We just gotta go into the schools, talk to these people who are about to be eligible voters. know, started a sophomore. I remember we took political science when I was in school. That's that non-factor. You can't ain't no political, nothing. They got African history and American history and maybe African American history, and then we're done. Well, excuse me, government. Talk about how bills are passed or how government functions. And no more schoolhouse rock to put song. Ain't no more of that. So
you know what my American government class was? Anybody who goes to Central or went to Central knows who the fuck Mr. Fahm is. I didn't learn shit in American government. Absolutely fuck. Schoolhouse Rock taught me more in American government than Mr. Fahm ever fucking did. Because Mr. Fahm spent the entire 11th grade year fucking sleep. Yeah, dude, he took more naps in class than me. God, dude, bro. Like, I'm sure he's a fantastic. I'm sure he earned his rights as an educator. But fuck, dude, I didn't learn anything in American government, and I'm pissed about it. Honestly, what if we started, like, what if we made an event of that shit, like, around election time, like, we, like, all do something, like, we all have Sunday fun days for everything else, like, choose a day on election day, like, we gotta go to a city council meeting, alright, niggas, yeah, like, alright, niggas make some food, you know what I mean?
City council members to say, look, something in the way to take care of these districts that are not getting funding from home. But also on a federal level, to talk to our governor and our state senators and our states. All that counts. Because it's all three of them. All three of them. People just think, like, you don't know who Pete Ricketts was, huh? All you knew was Mayor Jean Stoffer, who's a liar. She lied about fixing the road. And everybody just voted her in. She was a chick, and she was, oh, you know, we have something in the budget to fix the road. She went and put gummy bears in all the potholes and fixed. So, it's like, long story short, if we get involved on a city level first, it will make politics make more sense, because Black people are going to always start to see that if I participate in politics affect my city, the difference. And then they'll start to support the policies of the governor, the senators, and the representatives, ultimately at the top, the president. That's the last on the list. He's more to do with foreign policy and us not getting blown the hell up because they keep going over in other countries. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah, I guess to wrap it up, I think by starting to get involved in our local politics, we can see the changes that we want to see in our communities. But I feel like it starts on very, very basic levels. Like, people make up excuses for why they can't go to city council meetings. People even have anxiety and may not feel comfortable, you know? So, like, I feel like the most basic level is to, like, understand your politics. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't know what's going on, pick a news source. Watch that shit every day. Like, watch that shit every day for a period of time and get yourself informed on what's going on. Because you can participate on a local level, but if you don't even understand what's going on in the world, it's even harder to participate, you know? So, participating in those ways is absolutely utmost importance, but it's also just about understanding what's going on. Like, pick a news source, watch that bitch. Do not let Facebook be your fucking news. I'm not your news. Facebook's not your news. Sanji's not your fucking news. Like, we're not Dan Rather. We are not Dan Rather. George Stephanopoulos or none of that shit.
We're opinion people. We're not journalists.
No, so...
Yeah,
but fact check everything you hear. But more importantly, like, get yourself informed. Like, if you don't know what's going on, that's the fastest way to participate in politics. Like,
and maybe we can help by, you know, kind of digesting some of these policies that affect our community. Actually, face to who our city council members are, and, you know, in our district, and we can just blast it. We can start blasting the policies all over the internet and breaking it down for people, because, you know, it's going to take people like us who understand what's going on to make that commitment, bringing awareness to the
process. Yeah.
Maybe to catch on, who knows?
And, like, the HR 40 bill, like,
right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the reparations bill, like, that's a bill that they're talking about introducing in Congress right now. Like, HR 40. That's what it's called. Y'all can look it up. Yeah, man, but yeah, to wrap it up here, because my devices are fucking dying, actually. All of my devices are fucking dying.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying too. Yeah, good conversation as always. Just recorded?
Yeah.
All right, man, I'm going to leave the mixing and mastering all. We're going to be back. I'm not even gonna give it on Sunday.